And they never go to school. You have kids who are 13 and 15 who are working as a delivery boys and stuff, and they've never been to school. It's sad. In Lebanon, the same. And the Palestinians, the same. I mean, the Sudan used to be great intellectuals. They used to read a lot. I mean, Arab books would sell in Sudan and Iraq mostly. And those two countries have been hit, unfortunately. We're not in a good position. We're not in a good shape. And we have rulers that just, I mean, do their best to keep ruining us on all domains.
That was Hanadi Salman, a Beirut-based journalist. The film Letters from Beirut, War of 33 is based on her writings. She spoke with KABU contributor David Rosenberg about violations of the ceasefire agreement between Israel and Lebanon. For KABU News in Depth, I'm Althea Bill.
David Barsamian of Alternative Radio, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
Are you ready for another year of grassroots community radio? With your support, it's possible. Go to kbu.fm/give or mail a check to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214. To contribute to KABU's $75,000 goal for our KABU Fights Back campaign, going on now until December 31st. What better way to celebrate than by gifting your loved one a KABU membership this season?
Good evening and welcome to Transpositive PDX here on KBOO Community Radio. Tonight we are bringing you a special recording of the Transgender Day of Remembrance Interfaith Vigil, recorded at First United Methodist Church in Goose Hollow, recorded in Portland, Oregon on November 20th. 2025. Now stay tuned for the Transgender Day of Remembrance Interfaith Vigil.
Good evening. Welcome. We are glad you are here with us tonight in this sacred space. It is my greatest hope and prayer that we can hold this space tenderly and in love and in light. My name is Rachel Byers. I serve as the pastor of discipleship and outreach here at First United Methodist Church. I would like to open with a psalm and then a prayer. This is from a book called Queering the Psalms, so it's not the normal psalm. This is Psalm 86. Hear these words. Hear me, not in the way of polite prayers and folded hands, but in the gut wrench of a queer kid yelling into a pillow, begging not to be erased. I am poor in spirit, rich in scars, tired in bones, fierce in love. I carry my worth in the way I keep standing, even after everything tried to knock me down. Be near, be real, be now, because I'm not sure how many more days I can keep pretending I don't need to be held by something that won't leave when I show my whole self. You are the safe place when the world tries to legislate my existence out of breath. You are the pulse in my palms when I'm shaking in front of bathroom doors, afraid someone will question my right to be there. I've cried your name in a thousand ways, as queer joy erupting, as trans grief howling, as non-binary silence that still means I am. You, divine one, are no stranger to misfits. You stitch the stars with rebel thread and name the galaxies after those who wouldn't conform. There is none like you, not in cathedrals, not in courtrooms, not in conversion camps that tried to tell us love is sin. Your love is riot and refuge. Your love is banner and battle cry. You made us loud, and you never asked us to quiet down. Teach me your ways, but don't ask me to be straight in them. Teach me to walk in the path in my own damn shoes, heels, boots, barefoot, whatever lets me dance. I will praise you, not in hymns that erased me, but in the songs we wrote on the back of pain, on the edge of hope, with voices they tried to break. You who lifted me from shame's grave, you gave me my name back, called me beloved and meant it. The proud still mock, the powerful still crush, but you see me, you know me, you delight in me. Pour out your mercy like a flood. Let the world drown in it. Let them see us standing, alive, radiant, queer as thunder, loud as love, unashamed and holy.
In remembrance of our deceased siblings, to whom we're deeply indebted for their courage, suffering, sacrifice, and brilliance, I offer the four limitless ones. May all beings enjoy happiness and the root of happiness. May we be free from suffering and the root of suffering. May we never be separated from the great happiness devoid of suffering. May we dwell in the great equanimity, free from passion, aggression, and prejudice. And from the 12th century Bodhisattva Shantideva, may the frightened cease to be afraid. May those bound be freed. May the powerless find power. And may we all act for the benefit of others.
I will make a way before. Anyway, my name is Stephen Hicks. I come from Jenny Canonia community. We were formed Canonia from a student Christian fellowship at PSU until the bishop, led by a Catholic priest, and until the archdiocese said, "No, you're letting the wrong people in." So they broke that up. Not really, they continued operating. And also, Judy was a community of Catholics who was started up, led by a Catholic priest, male, who led them quite well until he decided to retire and go home to Michigan. And then they called a woman who led them for quite some time. And Canonia was also led by a woman. And then toward this century, they decided to join together Canonian journey. And they've been led, the Catholic tradition, but they're led by women, or led by lay people now. So we have any sort of lay people doing the homilies, doing the music. Some are ordained males, and then some women are ordained. So we're on this journey together. As Catholics, or you might say Catholics with a small c, as in universal, the universal church, which actually we're all. At one time, before I joined Journey Canonia, I had left my Catholic tradition and I joined a Reconciling Methodist Church up in North Portland until that church closed. So I came back home to my Catholic tradition, and now we meet here at this Methodist Church in the chapel. Full circle. But in all that time, I've been accepted and accepted myself as not straight, not gay, not lesbian, not, but basically, right now, non-binary. So, you know, we are on a journey to decide who we are, telling our stories. So, that's all I say. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Emma Lugo, and I'm a member of Congregation Shir Tikva. Our congregation is over on the east side. It's part of the East Side Jewish Commons, and we are a very much open and welcoming to queer, trans, non-binary Jews, fellow travelers. And I'm just up here because we didn't put it in the program, but this is the part of the service where we open the space to trans voices. So we're going to hear from Sheila in just a minute and Carter. And if there are other people who are trans or non-binary who want to speak at this time about whatever they feel moved to say, this is the space that we set aside for it. We just ask for it to be not too long. So thank you. We're going to hear from Sheila Mengert now, and that's recorded.
Good evening on this Transgender Day of Remembrance. Emma Christina has asked me to say a few words on what my reflections are regarding the not only this particular Remembrance Day, but how our community is shaping up under the current assaults of the administration. One of the things I'd like to point out is that we have it, the ideal thing with this particular holiday is to reach a point where it's no longer necessary, where people will not ever literally have to give up their lives as a price of expressing their gender identity. Looking back over the years, I can see that when we began, the level of discourse was confined to professionals, mostly psychologists, and there were studies in the social sciences that tried to define us as a community and tried to define our experience as it appeared through the grid of various professional perspectives. Later on, we reached a point where we could speak for ourselves, and what we were trying to do is to explain what our experience was, and so that we would be seen less as a subject population and we would be seen as self-determining individuals, and we would also be granted the dignity to listen to us in our own voices. It's sad, but many times our visibility, which is our other major holiday, has invited us into this perspective where other people could dish their garbage out on us. And the best example of that is when we are targeted because of their anxieties about the question of gender. It seems odd to me that family values imply that we do not have families, or that we do not have the right to enter into any kind of relationship whatsoever, because we basically don't fit into any camp. No matter who we pair off with, we're going to be looked upon as something that we are not allowed. If it's lesbian, if it's gay, if it's just in between, because the model that we have of heterosexual marriage and gender congruity does not include us. This does not mean, however, that we forfeit our dignity as individuals. And religious institutions, even when they are conservative, have begun to realize that affirming the value of human life and of individuals is more important than the secondary question about who we pair off with or whether we live celibate lives, as many of us end up doing. So the question that I'd like us all to answer today is how we can resist becoming victims, first of all, of our own violence. We should avoid suicidal tendencies and be very much aware of our friends and neighbors who are transgender, and to support them and to tell them how important they are so that they will not be tempted to be the assassins of their own identities, which in a sense is what suicide is. We do not need to cooperate with our own destruction. My other thought is to learn from the experiences of the past, learn the types of situations where we end up being victims of others' violence, and be very alert as to those situations so that we can avoid them. If we do those things, we will enhance our possibility of longevity and having the lives that we deserve to have simply as human beings. So those are my main thoughts tonight, and I wish everyone wisdom to know what we need to do to survive, unity so that we stand together as a community, and lastly, that we be our own best friends and recognize that we do have value as individuals, and if we are religious people, to recognize that God does love us and that we do not need to consider ourselves as exiles.
All right. Well, my name is Reverend Julian Hamaika Soto. This year, it's my privilege to be the minister at the Unitarian Universalist Community Church of Washington County, which is in Hillsborough. Tonight, I'd like to begin with a poem that I wrote called The Butterfly Effect. Listen, I'm going to say a thing, but I'm mostly saying it so that if you are someone who needs to be writing a book, you can say to yourself, oh, if Soto did it, I can do it. It's from my book, Spilling the Light. All right, ready? The Butterfly Effect. I wish the knowledge were easier to come by, that individualism is just a scam. That you are always the butterfly wings. You are always the storm. Edward Lorenz, a weather scientist from MIT, is sometimes misquoted on this as the premise that the flap of a butterfly wing can cause a hurricane in a different part of the world. Shorthand that isn't all that close to a representation of the math-turned-weather scientist's work. He proposed that should we make even a tiny alteration to nature, we never will know what would have happened if we had not disturbed it. Since subsequent changes are too complex and entangled to restore to a previous state. Which is to say, you have an immeasurable effect on the system. It will change and you will shape its DNA. You must not believe the lying lie that you do not matter, that whatever change you can organize is so insufficient as to not be worth your time, your energy, your life force. You must be willing to dream a dream that carries forward your community. This is how we rise. This day is polluted with a mistrust of truth, fertile and warm medium for unchecked cruelty and power. You must choose to scream the truth until every leaf and stone bears unrepentant witness to what happens when you try to cage and smash, to pin and frame a butterfly and their thousands and thousands of fabulous, flamboyant friends. Today I am going to talk a little more about butterflies, and you're going to say, isn't that a string thing? Only kind of. You see, every fall, the monarch butterflies that live on the West Coast find their way down to Mexico. And they even go sleep in the same trees that their previous generations slept in. The ones that are east, I forget where they go. It doesn't matter. Another warm place. But my point is this, all of them travel about 3,000 miles. I'm going to bust my notes out and then we're going to be like, oh, of course. But the point is that as we talk about this journey, as we talk about the grief we're holding of trans people that we lose year after year to violence, to suicide, to neglect, there is more. And if a butterfly can travel 3,000 miles, we have a lot to learn. One of the things I want to remind you as we talk about these butterflies in fall time is that they are orange and black. That combination is supposed to tell the birds this. Listen, you can try to eat me, but I'm gonna taste terrible. And this is something we bring forward. What I want us to remember and focus on is multiple things, because many things are happening at a time. We gather to remember and to grieve, to honor our dead. But I want to remind us, as we live, that the butterfly also tells us that migration is a human right. Monarch butterflies don't just do that for the adventure. Their survival depends on it. So as we consider the situation for trans people in this county, in this state, in this country, these are the things we are thinking about. The Universal Declaration of Human Rights in 1948 reminds us that every person has dignity and every person has the right to move, to seek safety, and to make a home. Today, millions of people live outside their country of origin. Many are compelled by danger. And you heard some of that tonight. In our community, we share a familiarity with what danger is, with what loss is. And these policies that keep people from having what they need, from going where they need to go, they're not just legal matters. They're matters of morality, and they're matters of the soul. Somali British poet Warshan Shire captures this when she says, "No one leaves home unless home is the mouth of a shark. And you'll only run for the border when you see the whole city running as well." And when governments force trans and non-binary people to carry passports that misidentify them, as John Davidson of the ACLU warns, they risk increased harassment, violence, and exclusion. We, who live now, bear the witness of science. And one of the complicated things trans people are experiencing now is that fake science is being used to tell wrong stories. This isn't a new thing. In the 18th and 19th centuries, science was used to claim that women were less than men. Today, some policies point to chromosomes as if they are the only source of truth. But studies show that's not how biology works. As we remember our dead, we remember the truth of our life. And then we also lean into the fact that when we are the ones affected by these policies, we are the ones who remain alive, we are the ones who fight for more people to thrive. There are things we have to do, like say no to these policies, like lobby our representatives for justice and equity, like support legal and advocacy work. We've heard some of that tonight as well. What does it take to say no inside the system? We are tired, we are grieving, but I heard a line today that reminded me of you. It was from U2 in their song, Iris. They said, "There's something in your eyes that has taken 1,000 years to get here. You are the one we are waiting on, and your life matters in just this way." Monarch butterflies remind us the journey is long, 3,000 miles at least. The journey is complicated. It can't be reduced to a single X or Y or XY or XO or any other combination. Your life, the way you live it, and the way you speak your truth is the thing that makes the difference. Our collective power. Sure, the flap of a butterfly can cause a hurricane. Let me see you flap your wings. We have time, we have power, and we have place. And I'm so grateful that you're here to honor your grief, to unfold it, but to remember that yes, you are not alone. And listen, they can try to eat you, but you're not gonna taste good. Thank you so much. I'm really grateful to be here with you, to honor you as community, and to honor your strength going forward.
Starting up again. And I am wound so tightly, I hardly even breathe. You wonder why we're hungry for some kind of release. So tired of being careful, so tired of being still. Give me something I can crush, something I can kill. A lightning strike, a fallen tree. I'm not afraid, oh, don't let it find me. You can outrun yourself, you'll see. And I'm powerless, oh, don't remind me. And it's the old religion, but the urge remains the same. Freedom from the body, freedom from the pain. And it's your troubled hero, back for season six. And it's at its darkest, it's my favorite bit. And I am wound so tightly, I hardly even breathe. You wonder why we're hungry for some kind of release. Watch me crawl on hands and knees to scratch at the door.
Be brave. That's what the trans ancestors told me when I prayed this week. And I asked them, what do I need to say? What do we need to hear today? They said, be brave. Be brave. Be brave. And I realized being brave is the definition of being trans. Our very existence is an act of bravery. To step outside the accepted norms and say, I know who I am, no matter what anyone else says. And we teach the world how to be brave, how to stand in your own conviction against the comfort of going with the crowd, how to follow your heart instead of your orders, that's brave. How to chart your own path, not knowing where it will lead, that is brave. How to stand up against oppression and violence and speak your truth, that's brave, and it shows others how to be brave. And that is why trans people are under attack right now. And that is why we are the first ones to be attacked by regimes that rely on obedience and cowardice and herd mentality, because they can't stand it when we're brave. So please join me now in calling on the trans ancestors or transcestors. In my tradition, we call on the ancestors of those who have died to help guide them in their journey across the veil. So if you will, feel your feet on the floor. Feel your butt in the chair. Feel your heart in your chest and take a breath. Trans ancestors, you who love us beyond all reason, we call to you, brave ones, mighty transcestors who stood your ground, who claimed your names and took up space, who threw the first brick that shattered oppressive laws. Transcestors, who fought and died defending a country that pretends you don't exist, who stood on street corners, who strode through palace halls, who were the shamans and spiritual guides of your people, who were pharaohs and leaders and wisdom keepers, all the way back, all the way back, all the way back, because we have always been here. I call on this great lineage of bravery and beauty to be here with us in this space, to open your great wings and gather up those whose names we soon shall speak, to guide them in this next part of their journey, to weave them into the wholeness of your shining web. Gather them up with your fierce love, transcestors, and be with us in our grief, and be with us in our bravery. Blessed be.
We will now read the names of those who passed this year. Honey Walker.
Megan Jordan Cridley.
Jill Heathers Bouvier.
Raven Saeed.
Phoenix Cassetta.
San Coleman.
Rick Alistair Newman.
Jay Flores.
Allison Ketchum.
Serenity Birdsong.
Leah Joe.
Sydney Lee Phillips.
Spencer James Castle.
Quanesha Chantel.
Unidentified woman.
Ralasia Wright.
Kyla Jane Walker.
Aziza Barnes.
Roy Mora.
Meka Shabazz.
Cam Thompson.
Parker Savarese.
Johnny Adamow.
Aubrey Dameron.
Elisa Ray Shoup.
Sam Nordquist.
Tahiri Broom.
Amiri Dior.
Irviana Johnson.
JJ.
Linda Becerra Morin.
Katoria Lacynthia Banks.
Caitlin Renetta Benoit.
Kelsey Ellum.
Nora.
Shai Perius Dupree.
Carmen Wells.
Charlotte Fosgate.
Jonathan Joss.
Tessa June.
Jax Grattan.
Laura Schuler.
Hope Laika Youngblood.
Emma Slabach.
JJ Godby.
Christina Hayes.
Gabrielle Nguyen.
Lily Dawn Harkins.
Kia Lee Tabitha Roberts.
Kamora Words.
Artie Cassidy Beowulf Gibson.
Nathaniel Pabon Cruz.
Dream Johnson.
Blair A. Sawyer.
Rosa Machuca.
Kasi Rhea.
Onyx Cornish.
Aurora Pellegrina.
Robin James Post.
Blake Sturm.
Blaise Alexander Bale Mason.
Scarlett.
Tori Jackson.
book of our names. I want there to be a book of our names, none of them missing, none quite the same, none of us ashes, all of us flames, and I want us to read it aloud. I'd like to start by calling in Ms. Ezra Furman, the author of those lyrics. As a Jew, as a fangirl, I consider her to be one of my teachers, or as we say in Hebrew, one of my rabbis. I was honored to be invited to offer a Jewish perspective tonight, but I hesitated to accept. I am an artist, teacher, and ritual maker, all within Jewish and queer contexts. Many close friends and a handful of lovers and my beloved, past and present, and I'm sure future, are trans. Some of them are gone. I've come year after year to this event, but have always thought of it as an experience that I cannot wholly own. This strange annual gathering with a list of names that grows longer and grows younger. And the names will be the real ones that are ours, not the ones given us by the enemy powers, but the ones that we know in our bones and our bowels, and they'll be said out loud and repeated. Book of Our Names, the title of Ms. Ezra's song, is a direct translation of Shmot, the original Hebrew title of the second book of the Bible, Exodus. Early on in Exodus, this book of names, Abraham is called by God to speak to the Jewish people. After hesitating to accept the invitation, Abraham asks, "Whom shall I say sent me?" Ayah asher yeh, I am what I am, or alternately translated as I will be what I will be, or I am what I will be, or I will be what I am. This ultimate expression of divinity is to be what you are. And that's what we are celebrating today. That is the core of our resistance, that we are the ones who determine who we are. In Judaism, commemoration of the dead is also a celebration of the living. Saying names aloud is part of the mourning process. The prayer that we say to honor a deceased loved one is called the Kaddish, something that sets things apart, makes it holy. It does not mention death once. It's meant to be recited in community, traditionally by close family members. This tradition, however, changed after the Holocaust in the mid-20th century. In my Jewish community, not just the family, but everyone stood to say the mourner's Kaddish, to invoke the memories of the countless and often nameless victims of the Holocaust. And then, again, as I became a young adult in the 1980s and the AIDS epidemic took many lives, there was a new saying, "Who will say Kaddish for me?" And a new group that said Kaddish, even if they were not part of the core family. And this grew from a question of people who had been rejected from within their family and not honored as part of the lineage, to being a bigger question of people who are, some would even say, did not belong within the Jewish tradition at all. This is an important moment to use this idea of naming and to bring it into our community and to talk not only about the names of our most immediate loved ones, but our collective names. And the names will be the real ones that are ours, not the ones given us by the enemy powers. Yes, I want there to be a book of our names, none of us missing, none exactly the same, none of us ashes, all of us flames, and I want us to read it aloud, to read it aloud. We say amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fear relieved. How precious did that grace appear. The hour I first believed, through many dangers, toils and snares, we have already come. 'Twas grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing love's praise than when we first began.
We gather each year at this time, time out of time, to honor our dead, to respect our grief, and to be together in community. Take a moment and look around right now. Send compassion to your neighbors. Now, will you rub your hands together gently, a form of gratitude and applause for everyone who helped to put this evening together? There is much ground yet to cover. You are the one who matters, and we must make it together. When you think of something beautiful and delicate like a butterfly, remember, one of the things that they're strong about is that they're not alone. Do you want me to tell you what I forgot? The butterflies that live in California go to Mexico. The butterflies that live on the East Coast go west. And that's how they do it. That's how we have to do it too. We have to find our home and our place. We have to gather our strength for this time. As you leave this place, remember that. Go in peace, practice love, and return to your community. Remembering that even as you carry grief, multiple things can be going on at once, and your joy can remain. Thank you for being here tonight. Be well. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM in the Portland metro area and all over the world at kboo.fm.
On Thursday, December 18th, Oregon's farm worker union, PICUN, is calling for a general strike on the Day Without an Immigrant. This comes after months of in